Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. It is Thursday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined for our weekly chat with Paul Zeiss, the Zeiss is Right video here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing good, Adam. How are you?
I am hanging in there. We are going to get into some Steelers win total talk. Are they being disrespected a little bit by Vegas? Is Vegas not impressed by what the Steelers have done, Omar Khan has done with acquiring Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Patrick Queen. We're also going to be talking a little Penguins. Paul wrote a column off kind of a post-mortem of the end of their season, his suggestions to kind of take some bold action to get the franchise moving in the right direction. We're going to talk some Pirates. Are they being too cautious with guys like Jared Jones, Paul Skeens? And is it time to start worrying about young players who are not hitting well now that the Pirates have gotten out of that strong first week? Before we get into all of that, just want to thank our sponsor for this episode and every episode of the Zeiss is Right show here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Paul, the Steelers win total at DraftKings is currently 8.5. Obviously, that's lower than the number that they put up last season with Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph. They won 10 games. Before we get into how the draft could affect that, just on the merits, is the team that they have as constituted worse on paper than the team that ended last season in your mind? After all these moves that Omar Khan's drawn a lot of praise for, or do you think Vegas may be underselling them a little bit here in the early going?
Well, it tells me there's probably not a lot of faith in Russell Wilson. That's where I would start. And I think one of the things that was very interesting is when they signed Russell Wilson, the win total didn't move one way or the other, really. Nor did all of the odds of them to win the Super Bowl or the division or anything. So it tells me that there's not a lot of faith in Russell Wilson to be a difference maker. Are they better or are they worse right now? I mean, I would argue they're probably better because they have, you know, a better quarterback situation than they did at the end of last year. But, I don't have a good feel for it, Adam, because I need to see what Russell Wilson looks like. If they get the Russell Wilson who, you know, showed up in some games last year and made some of those throws that, you know, had him teetering on being an elite player back in the day, okay, yeah. Then I think their win total is lower than what it should be. But to me, it tells me that Vegas thinks they're a team that's going to be an 8 or 9 win team and not much more than that.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting because, you know, of all the turmoil at that position, now you maybe don't. Not just in terms of Russell Wilson. If that doesn't work out, you have a guy to turn to in Justin Fields, who I think is better than any option that the Steelers had last season. So it is, you're right. It's not an endorsement of what they've done with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Let me ask you how the draft could impact that in your mind. Let's say that they do a solid job like they did last season, get 3 starters. Broderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Keanu Benton were those guys last year. Let's say they duplicate that success. 3 starters, maybe another contributor or two, a reserve that gets some time in the lineup, play some meaningful minutes. How would that impact things for you? Do you think they could push that win total to 9.5, 10.5, any higher? Or do we at this time of year consistently overrate how much a draft class could impact a team, given that, you know, it's not just the Steelers picking players and getting better, it's every other team in the NFL doing the same?
Yeah, I would be surprised if there was any movement really much of all, Adam, one way or the other. I mean, I think that the draft is what it is. I think people know what it is. I don't see how them drafting a tackle would really have all that much of an impact on what their win total is. I don't see how them drafting even a receiver, just because they're rookies, and I think they're kind of a wild card about how much they're going to play, how much they're going to be a part of whatever the game plan is. There's so many different variables and factors. I think people don't understand that, you know, when these win totals are put together, there's a lot of different factors that are already, you know, in place. So, you know, absent of, you know, a move like the Jets last year getting Aaron Rodgers, for instance, absent of that kind of move, which really clearly fully changes the profile of a team, there's just not going to be that much movement. I mean, Adam, you can have the best draft of anybody out there, and I don't know that it would change much. I mean, for instance, is it Chicago that has the first pick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever their win total is, Vegas is already counting on them having Caleb Williams. You know what I mean? There's a pretty good idea of who the impact players are going to go to. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to matter that much. I think the Steelers are just sort of a team that has been in that purgatory middle for a lot of years. And, you know, 8.5, 9 is right about where they're going to be.
Well, in that vein, Paul, there's been conversation again this week about Brandon Ayuk as a trade target for the Steelers. Our own Jerry Dulac is now saying in his chat that they've tried. There's been a sense from others that you know, when push comes to shove, Omar Khan's going to be able to get that deal done. Is that the type of move that you're looking for to maybe change the profile here? Is that the only thing? Or, you know, not necessarily Brandon Ayuk, but we've talked about Deebo Samuel, Justin Jefferson, you know, maybe some cheaper options that require you to give up less draft capital. Is that the only move on the board that can kind of, you know, propel this team in a different direction?
Well, I mean, you're an analytics guy and you understand numbers. And I don't know what the equivalent is. Is there a war equivalent in football? You know what I mean? Like, because that's really what you're talking about, Adam. You know, is Brandon Ayuk worth a half a win, you know, or a win or what? You know, I would think a win. I think in order to be a one, you know, in football terms, and I'm not even sure what the analytic number, I'm sure there is one that they, you know, they use to try and determine how much a player is worth. But whatever that equivalent of war is in football, I would be willing to bet if you're a one war player, I mean, that's like being a 10 war player in baseball, right? So,
I mean, that would be the exact equivalent. Yeah. I mean, just because there's 10 times as many games.
Right. So what would you say a good outfielder who's, you know, well, let's even say he's like a 300 hitter, you know, with a, you know, OPS plus of say 115 or something, right? So he's obviously a good outfielder who's a really legitimately good player, sort of like Ayuk. What would you say that guy's WAR would be in terms of baseball?
I'd say 4, 5, 6, somewhere okay. Somewhere between 4 and 6.
So if you get a 6 WAR player, that's a really good player, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're really talking about 0.6, if you think about it, right? That's what we're talking about. Like the best players, it's a 0.6. So you get Ayuk, maybe they move it to 9, but it's not going to be much more than that. I mean, I think you have to, you know, you have to think of it in terms of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good way of expressing it. Paul, let's talk about the thing I think that matters most to people, which is, you know, I don't think anyone actually cares how many games the Steelers win if they win a playoff game this season. Do you think that that is something that if they have a solid draft, if they make a move for an Ayuk, that you'd say that you feel they're in a better position to do what they did last season, go into Buffalo and maybe get a win against a good team like the Bills rather than falling short and kind of playing from behind the whole way?
Well, if you think about it, I think we're answering the same question as we just did. How good is Russell Wilson? If he's good, if they get a, you know, and I'm not talking about Seattle Russell Wilson, but if they get a good version of Russell Wilson, better than maybe what we saw, obviously 2 years ago, but better even than we saw last year, at least more consistent. Yeah, they could win a playoff game because I think, you know, their defense should be better. And I think if they're going to, if you're going to tell me the problem was Matt Canada's offense, well, they've gotten rid of that. I think their offense is going to be more structured, probably is going to make more sense, probably is going to be more efficient. So, you know, if Russell Wilson is reasonably good, they will be in position maybe to win a playoff game. And, of course, matchups matter. I don't see them going into Kansas City and winning, you know, no matter what. Could they win a playoff game at Baltimore? Yeah, probably, right? So we'll see. I mean, I think there are some teams that are good matchups for the Steelers, a couple teams that probably are tough matchups. I still think the Bills are a tough matchup, even though, you know, their defense has gotten decimated. I still think it's a tough matchup for the Steelers because Josh Allen is just that guy. But they could beat the Bills. I mean, listen, if Rudolph doesn't throw an early interception, that game this year might have been a little different. You know, he threw that interception in the end zone. It sort of changed the complexion of things. But to me, and this is where I probably differ from some, if they don't win a playoff game this year, then go 17-0, they should fire Mike Tomlin. That's got to be the standard this year. Win a playoff game or we go in a different direction. And if people say, well, you better be careful what you wish for, I always say this. Well, that would be 8 years in a row without a playoff win. So, okay, if they hire a bad coach, they might go, what, 8 more years? I mean, the standard that we're talking about is not 2 Super Bowls in 4 years, 1 championship, you know, 3 division titles or whatever it was in his first 5 years. We're not talking about that standard anymore, right? We're talking about replacing a guy who has not won a playoff game in 7 years. That's where the discussion has to start.
Yeah, and I think the win total conversation is relevant because I think if you win more games, you get better matchups in the playoffs. You avoid those teams in that first round, in that wild card round, so that you can get to the divisional round. And then who knows what happens. I think for the Steelers, you want to avoid being that 7th team, right? You want to be 5, 6, somewhere where you're playing maybe a Miami or something like that. You know, you and I talked a lot about that down the stretch. They kind of failed to win those games against the Patriots, Cardinals, that I think would have put them in a more favorable position in that first round. I still don't know if I would consider them a favorite, but at least you get that playoff win. You get that monkey off your back. I think that's where these two conversations are kind of related. Paul, I want to talk some Pirates here and the struggling young players. Before we do, just want to thank Pitt Johnstown, another sponsor. To pick quality education with up-close and personal learning, a top-ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News & World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. Paul, I'm going to read off some Pirates batting averages to you. O'Neill Cruz, 234. Jared Triolo, 234. Jack Sawinski, 172. Henry Davis, 173. I think it's too early to draw sweeping conclusions just from the, you know, a couple of weeks in April. But these guys all have had significant struggles in kind of meeting expectations at different points in their careers. They're coming off of, you know, 2023, where I don't think any of them impressed. Obviously, O'Neill Cruz was hurt, so that was going to be difficult for him. But regardless, this is supposed to be the young core, right? These are supposed to be the guys that are going to carry this lineup when the Andrew McCutcheons of the world, you know, kind of age out. Obviously, you have to keep Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, more proven commodities. But these are the guys who are supposed to make the difference. So far, they have kind of fallen off that solid first week. What is your level of concern about them? And just in the context of you know, Ben Cherington not having proven that he can develop these guys still.
There's no evidence at all that he can develop these guys, right? I don't know how you can cut it any other way. You know, the fact that we are sitting here, forget about all the guys we're talking about. Let's go with Henry Davis. You drafted this guy first overall. 1-1, as they say. Adam, in 4 years since he's been in the organization, can you point to one shred of evidence that they have a plan for him or had a plan for him? We're 4 years into a guy you drafted 1-1, and we're supposed to accept the fact that he's a developmental catcher, essentially. Well, you know, he's learning. He's got to do this. He's got to prove this. Well, but last year you had him in the outfield. And then there was talk that you might move him to first base. And then there was talk, well, it doesn't matter if he can't play defense, maybe he'll be our DH. All the while, he has shown really very little evidence in the major leagues that he can be the star hitter that they thought he was going to be. So my question is, A, what was the plan? And B, whatever it was, it ain't working. And C, how can you be this negligent or whatever you want to say with a guy you drafted 1-1? And, you know, you hit on and touched on a bunch of the other guys. I don't get it. I don't know what the plan is. Adam, you know more than anybody, I have really tried to be open-minded and patient with this and say it's a five-year plan or whatever. And at the beginning of this year, I kept saying, listen, it's coming together. I'm optimistic. Henry Davis play well. I like what they did with Rowdy Tellez, maybe, and Connor Joe at first. O'Neill Cruz is going to have a monster here. Cabrian Hayes, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I'm starting to think that the offense that I thought they were going to have is not reality. It's not the offense that they're going to be. And that speaks directly to Andy Haynes or whatever, you know, whatever his name is. That speaks to him. Speaks to the minor league instructors. It speaks to the guy who puts it all together and has the overall philosophy that everyone has to follow, and that's Ben Cherington. At some point, we have to get away from this idea that, well, you know, this guy's just not doing it well, or this guy's not doing it well. This guy, at some point, you point the finger to where it starts, and it's been Cherington.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, Paul. And it's just, you know, do I think O'Neill Cruz is still going to be a good player? I think so. Is he going to be the player I think a lot of people see when they see, you know, his big frame step up to the plate, the power that he has? That's the part I don't know. That's the part he has not proven. That's the part that, more importantly, the Pirates have not proven. I don't want to pile on the player when, you know, the celebration when Ben Cherington got here was, I mean, he's one of the greatest development guys in baseball. Look what he's been doing with the Toronto Blue Jays, where he was not even in charge. You know, like he got credit for the what he did with the Blue Jays, but what did he actually do? What was his level of involvement? So, yeah, I'm not so bearish that I don't think some of these guys will work out. I do. It's just, will they work out to the extent that a lot of fans, I think, have convinced themselves that they're going to see? Or are they going to look like the 2013-15 Pirates? And that's, I don't think that they have that upside, Paul. They might make a playoff run. They might get to 84 wins, get into the playoffs. Maybe they make some noise when they get there. But I don't think, to this point, I do not see the quality of the organization coming together the way I did in 2013-15. I just don't.
Yeah. No, well, here's the thing. I'm not quite there, Adam, but I am slowly but surely gravitating there. I still believe they can, you know, maybe prove us wrong and turn this thing around a little bit. And a guy like Henry Davis, who's always hit in his entire career, figures it out. but I'm starting to get a little nervous, to say the least. I'm starting to get a little nervous. So we'll have to see what happens. But I think Henry Davis, to me, I look at what has gone on with him for 4 years, and I'm starting to just use the word malpractice in terms of how they've handled him and handled his career so far.
Yeah, you don't. I don't even want to call him a bust, because a bust implies that it's his fault. I don't know that I necessarily believe that yet. I believe it's more, you know, I assign more accountability to the Pirates for that and how they've handled him. Paul, quickly want to get into the Penguins here. You wrote a column basically suggesting it's time to blow up the core, that the contracts are holding them back. I want to agree with your premise on some level where, you know, I think you were reacting to people saying, man, as long as they got Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang, they're close. They just need to get a couple of extra players in here. I think that's maybe a little too optimistic for me. But I will also say that I don't view the contracts that those guys are playing on terribly either. I think they're commensurate with their level of production. They're underpaying Sidney Crosby. They're probably appropriately paying Evgeny Malkin, who is not making what he made early in his career. Same with Chris Letang. I guess my question is the how much of the failure do you view being on them? And maybe the solution is you got to trade them to get some different talent in here, some younger guys. I get that. But do you pin the failure on them, the reason that they're here, or is it just that trading them is part of the solution?
I think trading them is part of the solution. I think part of the problem that you have with that group is, as long as that group is around, you're going to build your team around that group, and you're going to build the team even though that group is not what they were 5 or 6 years ago. And I think Chris Letang, for all the good things he does, he still does a lot of crazy things that hurt the team. But my point is, if you get rid of them and you remove those two, and Carlson too, you free up cap space. You also can then begin to rebuild the entire philosophy of your team. And then you can basically bring in players that fit whatever your new philosophy is. Because at the end of the day, as long as those guys are around, you're going to continue to do things the same way you're doing them. And Adam, they have not won a playoff series since they lost to the Capitals in, what was that, 17 or 18? I think it was 17, right? Or whatever year it was, they lost to the Capitals. 2018, when the Capitals won the Cup. They haven't won a playoff series since then. And now they just don't even make the playoffs. And the thing about it, Adam, is, like, yeah, you're right. They're not making the $9 million or whatever it was they used to make. But you could put together those two salaries and Carlson, whatever portion of Carlson's salary you have to pay, and move on from them. Move on from Tristan Jarry. And you free up enough money that you could actually rebuild your team and, you know, and get some players in here that are younger, cheaper, whatever you want to say. Use some of your younger players, your prospects, and just start the process of moving forward. You got Sidney Crosby, so you're always going to have a chance. You know, he's good enough that he can carry it a little bit, enough that you're not going to go to, you know, 10 and 72 seasons. You know, I mean, I think maybe you slide back to a 40-win season, or actually didn't even win 40 games this year. What am I saying? You slide back to like a 30-win season or whatever. But here's the thing, Adam, and I made this point in my column. They had 82 games, I think, last year from Crosby, 81, I think, from Malkin. Letang missed some, but he still played like 59, 60 games last year. All four of them played, I think, all 82 games this year. And you'd miss the playoffs both years. And this year, you actually had Tristan Jarry healthy the whole year. I'm just saying what they're doing is not working, because they're continuing to try and do the same things. And the only reason they're trying to do the same things is because they have that core group that they're always trying to appease. And then, of course, there's the elephant in the room, and that's Mike Sullivan. I don't know another NHL coach that would have survived what he's gone through the last 5 years.
No.
So to me, you know, and I hate it because it's a cliche, but the definition of insanity, doing the same things over and over and over and over and over again and expecting different results. Mike Sullivan may or may not be a great coach, but guess what? The last 4 years, he hasn't been. Really. The last 5 years, actually, he hasn't been a very good coach in many ways. So Do we wait till he goes 7 years or 8 years? I mean, how many more times does he get to miss the playoffs and, you know, or not win playoff series and have a team that has the same exact issues year after year after year? Power play stinks, you know, overtime, they stink, losing leads because they want to continue to play the way that they played back in like 16 and 15 when they were really young and fast and their stars were still pretty young. I mean, are we going to continue to do that? Are we going to expect Mike Sullivan to change after all these years? I just think that, you know, you're being unrealistic with the whole thing. And I'm okay. I was okay with them, you know, taking another shot this year, but it's over, man. They got to move on from this.
Yeah, it's, I guess, a question of how long you maintain the shred. Because here's my thing, Paul. I don't believe in the NHL free agent market really at all. I think if you move on from guys you have on decent contracts, you know, we just sit here, you know, every summer and say, man, these contracts are ridiculous for some of these guys. I think there's no way you can allocate the dollars better in NHL free agency. But, man, you know, I could be wrong. Paul, thanks for stopping by this week. I know you got to run. Just want to tease for everyone, Paul will be joining us on the NFL Draft live stream next week. I don't think we're going to be doing the show because we're going to be doing the live streams Thursday and Friday. So make sure you're subscribed for that. We'll be at Mike's Beer Bar down on the North Shore. Come out, you know, and see us live if you can. If not, make sure you tune in. Looking forward to that, Paul, and thanks for stopping by.
All right, thanks, man. We'll talk to you.
Talk to you all again next week.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.